Let's stand and read from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 35. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in the last few days?" "What things?" he asked. "It's about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed them over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. It is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together." Let's pray. Father, we pray in these next few minutes. We pray our hearts and our minds are open to what your Holy Spirit wants us to hear, wants us to see. And Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit begin to transform in us something new. Begin to transform us into your likeness. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Be seated. I hope over these next few weeks you are excited about what we will hear and what we will see. As we listen to our missionary partners and the stories they tell us, I hope that this next few weeks we can celebrate. We can celebrate what God is doing, how God is moving in the world, how God is moving around us. But I also want this not just to be a time that we celebrate. I also want it to be a time that challenges us. I want it to be a time that challenges us to open ourselves to what the Holy Spirit wants us to hear, wants us to be a part of. I hope it challenges us to listen to what else God could be calling to us. I hope it challenges us to discern how God could use us even more. And as you listen over the next few weeks, it is my prayer, and I also believe the prayer of the elders and the prayer of the mission committee and the prayer of all of our leadership, that you are attentive to what the Holy Spirit is stirring inside of you. And you notice that in the text, right? Didn't we feel our hearts being stirred within us? And I hope what we see and what we hear is that God's reach is far beyond our reach. And what I mean by that is I think far too often we get kind of myopic. Our view gets small when it comes to God. I think we get so used to the things that we're doing. We get so just kind of rhythmic in our lives in a way that we kind of forget what God is doing around us. We kind of forget that God is working around us. And what I'm hoping is that our hearts can be stirred, our imagination can be stirred, our courage can be strengthened, because it's going to take a courage to do what God is calling us to do in this time. to have ears to see, ears to hear, and eyes to see not just what we want to see, but have ears to hear and eyes to see what God wants us to hear, what God wants us to see, which means my prayer is that we see and hear differently today than we did yesterday. And as the text that you noticed on the posters around the building say in John 4:35, it says this, "Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, that they are white for harvest." As Jesus was speaking to the disciples, as Jesus was speaking to those around him, to see what is around you differently, to see that the harvest is among you, to see that your neighborhoods are a place in which you can encourage and lift up, to see that the places in which you work and the people that you work with is a mission field and is white with the harvest, to see your kids' schools and where they're at and how they're participating and how you're participating is a way for you to get involved in what God is doing even in the schools and in the hearts of each other. Because it's easy, as we read in Luke 24, it's easy to be like the disciples who are walking on the road in Emmaus. The disciples who have just been with Jesus for so long, for 3 years they have been with Jesus. And as Marcus reminded us, they've heard these teachings. Jesus continued to say, "I'm going to have to die." Jesus said, "Even in death, I'll rise again." And we remember how Peter reacted to that when Jesus said that. And in this moment in which it's happened, we have these disciples walking on along the road to Emmaus, and how soon they forget, so much so that they can't see what God is doing in the moment, even when Jesus is in front of them. Did you catch that in Luke? Did you catch that when it says in Luke 24, 15 through 16, they were kept from recognizing him? The one who they've been with for 3 years, in this moment they couldn't see. Why? Because dead men don't rise from the grave. It's just not something that happens. And here's the thing. When we get so into life and how life can beat us up and how life can do things to us, and especially in these moments in the disciples' life, our vision of God begins to shrink. The way that we think God should act and the way that we think God should be in the world is so small. And these disciples in Emmaus are realizing just how small their view is. Why? Because in that very next verse, we see that it says this. It says, they were sad. They were, as NIV says, their faces were downcast. They're sad because they had the hope for what Jesus was supposed to do, what Jesus should have done. He was supposed to be the hope for all of Israel. Again, their hope for all of Israel was small. God's hope was for what? For all the world. And as Jesus begins to open up the scriptures to them, as Jesus is with them, as Jesus is talking to them, we begin to notice in verse 32, and it's the verse that I hope that we hold on to. In verse 32, when it says, "Were not our hearts burning within us?" And that's my hope as we talk over the next few weeks, as we hear stories over the next few weeks, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say we've probably been disciples on the road to Emmaus for a while. We've kind of been going through life, maybe with blinders on, kind of missing the opportunities. Missing the opportunities of what God has called us to be a part of, how God has called us to partner with him in the work, in the moments of hearing others, of noticing what other families are going through, of seeing our neighborhoods. And I hope over the next few weeks that as we hear in a minute the stories that are going on with Lanny and EEM, and as we hear the stories in Nicaragua, and as we hear the stories of Christ Haven and of Journey to Dream, and I know I'm forgetting, Main Street, there we go, I knew I was forgetting one, and Main Street, as we hear what God is doing there, that we, our hearts burn inside of us of what else God could be calling us to, of where else God could be calling us to reach into, to be a part of. Because God's reach is so much more than than our reach. And where God is calling us to is bigger and larger than what you could ever imagine. When the disciples looked at Jesus with the rich man and said, well, if this rich man can't get in, then what in the world? And remember what Jesus says to him? And we should all be praising God for this. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And so I wonder what God is calling you to over the next 4 weeks. I wonder what God is calling all of us to over the next 4 weeks. I pray today your heart begins to burn inside of you, that you begin to hear eyes that see and ears that hear what God wants you to see and hear. Because these stories that we're going to hear over the next 4 weeks will be our moments of encountering God on the Emmaus Road, encountering Jesus on the Emmaus Road, hearing the stories of witnesses, of seeing what God is doing in this world. And our first witness this week is Lanny Tucker. And so I want Lanny to come up here. Lanny is with EEM. And we all, and you probably remember Lanny from last year. But I'm going to give this to Lanny because I don't know his slides. He does. But Lanny has some, Lanny's come to tell us some stories, tell us what God is doing in this area of Ukraine and, well, he knows all the parts of Europe that I don't know, all that. So I'm going to let Lanny start talking and then we'll go from there. So go ahead, Lanny.
Great.
You can sit if you want.
Thank you. It is good to be here. I think I've got to stand. You've got me excited about my own stories because they really are God's stories. I'll get to a story that has to do with these two girls that you see here in just a moment, but let me just give a brief background for those of you who may be new to the concept of what EEM does. Eastern European Mission. We began in 1961. When communist Russia was in control, that whole area of Central and Eastern Europe were under that control. Atheism was the only legal option for you in terms of your faith. Faith only that there was no God was the only option. If you went out to rural areas, you'd see scenes like this with barbed wire and gun turrets. But praise God, things have radically changed. So going with what Russell has said, yes, Ukraine is one, but we now serve 30 different countries. God has opened the doors for us to be able to provide Bibles in 22 different languages in these 30 countries, even some that weren't part of communist Russia, refugees from the Middle East, you name it. There's all kinds of hunger and receptivity in this part of the world that is, by and large, not what we see in our own country. But God's reach is bigger. He is moving in people's hearts, and they have gone through some things that we have not. And in their case, that has created a hunger that is rare in our country and in most of the Western world. So now we get to see public school children receiving Bibles with joy, illustrated, hardbound, quality Bibles, teen Bibles. You see the one on the left here is the children's Bible. We just had 100,000 Bibles requested by Croatia in a Catholic-dominated country. So just these pictures tell a story in and of themselves. Public schools have been requesting more Bibles than all of the missionaries, all of the national Christian workers in all of these 30 countries have together. Public schools, the unexpected that God is often doing in the world. So the first of two stories that I want to share. So I was in that war-torn part of eastern Ukraine not very long ago. We got to meet with three different district administrators in the public schools there. Galina is the lady on the far left. Even with the hat on, she was shorter than everybody else in the room. But I pick on her because she put us to shame with her passion. And she was talking so fast. Have you ever been in a conversation where someone has dominated the whole conversation, but you actually still want to hear them say something more? That was Galina. And Galina was talking so fast that Dasha in the pink, our full-time country director there in our translator that day. Dasha said, "Lanny, I'm going to have to catch you up later. She's just talking too fast." So for about 10 minutes, I kind of went on nonverbals alone. But I got concerned because Galena had been happy this whole time. But she turned, and it was obvious that she was upset about something. We had walked down a hallway that was probably about 30 feet long to get to this office where you see this picture was taken. On that hallway, about half the hallway was filled with our Bibles, stacks and stacks and boxes 5-6 feet high. Not all of them were out yet. And I thought, she has the power to keep them from getting there. Is there, what's the problem? I didn't know. Well, finally, Dasha interrupts Galena, and she says, "You said one thing three times, but let me ask you to say it again, and I'm going to translate so that Lanny can understand what you're so passionate about." Galena looks me right in the eye, and for the first time in our hour-long conversation, she gets tears in her eyes. And she says, "For 70 years, we have been trying to escape atheism. But you are freeing us to teach our children about God." And she points to the hallway. On the flight over for that trip, I wondered if our Bibles were going to be sitting around. Natural question. Do people really want our Bibles? Are they really excited? Am I only hearing the best stories and not the typical stories? How is our ministry really doing? All of these flooding through my own head. I had no idea that I would meet anyone who in tears would say, "The Bible is freedom," and would have that level of gratitude. Galena blew the ceiling off of whatever I was expecting. So people are excited about God's word. I got to go this summer in June to Slovenia. Slovenia is a tiny little country. If you're a Dallas Mavericks fan, Luka Doncic is from there. And I don't know your politics, but Melania Trump is also from there. But 2 million people, I mean, we're talking a fraction of the Metroplex. This is the size in blue of Slovenia, just up against our state of Texas. So you get a sense of just how small it was. And yet, Slovenia and Croatia have asked for, in the last 2 years, over 300,000 Bibles and books. So we had reason to go there to see and hear the stories of what God is doing there. Well, Esther is the lady on the left here in the red. She is our copy editor and does a lot of translation work with the children's Bibles. A wonderful Christian lady. And she introduced us to Tonchka, the lady on the right in the blue. We almost missed Tonchka. She was late to the meeting. But I'm so glad we didn't, because for me, it was the highlight of the whole 9-day trip that we made. So Tonchka cares about the poor. She cares about children. And she's in a church that is kind of networked with 5 other churches there in this region of Slovenia, and they're surrounded by a lot of Roma villages. We might identify them as gypsies, but in that context, very, very derogatory term, so I hesitate to even say it anymore in America, but Roma people or Romani people. You'll find them in Hungary, Romania, Croatia, sprinkled across Europe and the world. But they are the modern-day Samaritans. They are outcast, not really loved by anyone. And so these Roma villages in Slovenia, they're just kind of left to themselves. Few care about them. Even the police say, no, we don't go out and police those areas. It's too dangerous for us. Something is wrong with that. Children in these villages typically don't know who their parents are. I mean, it is a crime-ridden, chaotic situation if you were to go into these villages. But these churches that Tonchka is part of, they wanted to do something to reach the poor, and Tonchka wasn't the only one, and so they started attempting to do some different outreaches, and finally the leaders said, you know, in good conscience, we can't encourage our members to continue doing this because we fear that not only someone is going to be hurt, but someone may very well be killed. So all five churches kind of back off, except for Tonchka. She doesn't ask permission. She doesn't really tell anyone. She does grab one girlfriend who's courageous enough, and they go together. Now, Tonchka doesn't know the Roma dialect. Most of the kids don't speak very much Slovenian. Most of them aren't even educated. So she's going out drawing pictures of Bible stories. But she quickly earns a reputation that keeps her safe. She and her friend stumble along. They didn't have any EEM resources, didn't know we existed, but she started praying. 2 weeks later, she says, it was like heavens opened when we got your children's Bibles because they were in Slovenian and we could now teach Slovenian with the pictures and the children loved them. So you see the picture here. Two girls, sisters in a Roma village. The follow-up story to all of this is theirs, but first let me say, if Tonchka wasn't willing to risk her own safety, these kids would not know Jesus. I'm pretty certain. If churches like Grapevine weren't praying and giving across our country, we wouldn't be in a spot to be able to say yes when Tonchka says, I need 150 of these kids' Bibles and probably some more. But Tonchka put her own safety off the page and said, these kids need to know Jesus. And so she went. Well, because she went, now all five of those churches that she's a part of have active, safe, growing ministries in these Roma villages. Now, look at these two sisters that are holding up their Bibles. One is the children's Bible on the right, and the other is our teen Bible on the left. These two girls fell in love so much with the stories that they were reading. Guess what they did? They came home to their dad, who was illiterate, and they taught their dad how to read using these two Bibles. He's now reading his own Bible, and I frankly don't know where he got it. That one that he's holding in this picture is not one that we print, but praise God, he can read, and he has got God's Word. You may be amazed by the fact that these kids are the vehicle, just like the giving this morning. We are inspired by kids. God is using everyone in different ways. So we praise God for this one Roma family that represents a growing number of people who are becoming disciples of Jesus. And if it weren't for you, again, praying and giving, and many others across our country, we wouldn't be able to have any hope of collecting so much money this year that 825,000 Bibles and books, which is what are slated for this fall, will be able to reach 10 different nations. These are just a highlight of some of the requests that we're receiving this year. So thank you. Part of what you will take up later will help to be able to say yes to all of these people in these 10 different countries who are asking for God's Word. So this might be my best way of being able to say thank you, is to show you a picture of this, I think, 92-year-old lady is what I'm told in Russia, who got her first Bible just about a year ago. And she wanted to say thank you to all of the churches like you that are allowing people like her to receive God's Word for the first time. So thank you for letting me be here this morning. And these are just two of many opportunities. Honored to be a part of what you're doing this month.
Thank you, Lanny. And he'll be here. He's got stuff in the back. And it is, again, I hope that as we start this, that God is reaching into your heart right now. As Lanny tells you these stories, as you see these pictures, that God is reaching in you and stirring in you a vision and imagination for what God wants for you, for what God wants for our church in the year to come. Don't tamper it down. Don't think and say, God can't use me. God can't do this. God can't do that. These weeks are to show that God can, God wants to, and God will. I pray your heart begins to stir like the disciples when they say, wasn't our heart stirring when he opened up the scripture, when he told us the stories? I pray your heart stirs over the next few weeks. And we begin to see a bigger vision of what God wants for us in this area. If you have any needs this morning, if you have any prayers, we'll have elders up front. I'll be up here, but come now as we stand and as we sing.